Hello and welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the podcast from Acadia, where we take time to get under the skin of the risk, margin and collateral industry to dig deep and present topical perspectives and insights on this hugely important sector. In this edition of Ahead of the Curve, we're back in the studio and on camera with Scott Sobletsky, a partner and lead in Acadia's North American Quantitative Services Division. Scott, it's great to have you with us.
Thanks, John. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us. For this episode of Ahead of the Curve, we're going to take a look at how Acadia is using its expertise and insight to support cryptocurrency firms with risk and capital requirements for their derivatives trading activity. The cryptocurrency derivatives market has grown hugely in recent years, with some analysts estimating that notional volumes in crypto derivatives now total over $3 trillion. This growth has been led by institutional investors trading futures and options based primarily on Bitcoin and Ethereum. But the recent failure of some large crypto exchanges, such as FTX, has focused the minds of many crypto-focused firms, particularly when it comes to issues and processes around risk and capital requirements. And Scott, that's where your expertise and knowledge comes in. So let me put this question to you first. What are the key issues here for crypto-focused firms?
Yeah, crypto regulations have been a pretty big hot-button issue globally. Particularly in the U.S., there's been, thankfully, some regulatory precedent in the derivatives market as it relates to crypto, with that regulation falling pretty clearly under the purview of the CFTC.
And what is the benefit of becoming a registered swap dealer?
It allows firms to scale up their derivatives trading volumes and grow their client base and grow the associated fees that come with that larger trading activity. Becoming a regulated entity also builds client and investor confidence that the firm has strong risk management practices in place and can survive the next downturn in financial markets or crypto markets.
And that's what a lot of this is about, isn't it, Scott? It's confidence and building confidence in uncertain times.
Yeah, correct. We certainly don't want the next FTX to happen to a firm that doesn't have those strong risk management practices in place.
And the regulatory environment that we're talking about is focused in the US. Is it the same for Europe and for the rest of the world?
Yeah, very similar regulations exist globally in Europe. For example, the EMIR, the European Market Infrastructure Rules, also govern large dealers in derivatives and make sure that those firms have heightened regulatory risk management standards in place.
And who's registered so far?
In the U.S., just one, FalconX, is a company that registered as a swap dealer last April 2022. We know from discussions with several other clients of ours that they were certainly considering following that path leading up to the FTX collapse last fall. I think that's put a bit of a pause on some of those registration processes, but heading into the new year here, we've certainly seen momentum start to build as some of the dust has settled in the crypto markets.
And take me through Falcon's process and why they've become a pathfinder, really, in this process.
Yeah, I think a lot of the financial headlines recently have been focused around retail investors in crypto and protecting retail investors from certain bad actors in the crypto markets. I think from an institutional perspective, there's lots of institutional investors out there that would like greater exposure to crypto as a diversifier across all the asset classes that they're trading. And certainly having a firm like FalconX become registered and regulated allows the institutional investor to have higher confidence that they can trade with that entity and that that entity will be around to survive the next market downturn.
It's almost like acquiring the right level of respectability for a market that people are interested in, but perhaps don't know still enough about.
Yeah, it's certainly those are the benefits, right? The ability to scale your operations. Essentially, the regulators are considering you systemically important at that point. So that's the get. The give is that there's a lot of heightened regulatory requirements that you need to have in place internally as it relates to the calculation processes around margin and capital adequacy.
And this is where Acadia comes in, isn't it? Because this is where you have expertise already. How do you go about supporting firms in this situation?
Yeah, the two kind of critical components of the swap dealer requirements in the U.S., there's a margin component for non-cleared trading activity. And that's where Acadia has thrived over the last decade in supporting firms in the calculation, reconciliation, and exchange of non-cleared initial margin. So we've become the sort of de facto trade standard industry utility for where that calculation and reconciliation takes place. So we've worked with several clients over the last few years in helping them determine the optimal margin calculation approach. So if you're in the weeds of the uncleared margin rules, you'll know that there's this industry standard model that ISDA has put out called SIM, the Standard Initial Margin Model. And typically that's used by a lot of the larger banks and asset managers in the world to calculate their initial margin requirements. The fallback approach, the simpler approach, is the schedule approach or the grid approach, which is a sort of regulatory prescribed table of a risk weight multiplied by a notional. And you'd think that the SIM model would be optimal in most cases, but there are certain dynamics of the portfolio where the schedule approach could actually be the more optimal outcome and result in essentially lower margin requirements on an ongoing basis. So depending on the portfolio characteristics, the size, the directionality, we can help clients essentially test which of those two approaches is most optimal for their trading activities. And if the schedule approach is the one that's determined as more optimal, it helps the client avoid needing to go down a very lengthy regulatory approval process if they're a registered swap dealer or a bank subject to prudential regulations in the U.S.
So it's tailoring the process then for participants in this instance.
Yeah, it's an infrastructure that we've worked very hard to build over the last decade to support calculation of margin requirements across every asset class, and crypto is just an additional asset class.
And how does the crypto margin process work? Just in a bit more detail, is it just like a single margin call a day, just like any other derivative?
Exactly. Yeah, we've built out the analytics capabilities for crypto, in particular for Bitcoin and Ethereum, which we've observed to be the two most popular reference assets for derivatives, or at least in the non-cleared markets. And we've been able to source liquid market data for to include in our calculations of margin from listed futures and listed options at various exchanges globally.
And you mentioned there Bitcoin and Ethereum, and I mentioned it at the very beginning of the podcast as well. Are they the only cryptocurrencies that you focus on, or because there's a bigger world out there?
Yeah,
are there others that
there's
you
many
do also
altcoins out there in the market. Some have been quite popularized out there the financial headlines. But from an institutional perspective, at least in terms of the clients who are trading the large volumes that you'd become or have the need to become registered as a swap dealer, so far at least they've been primarily focused on Bitcoin and Ethereum offerings.
And it's likely to be that going ahead as well.
So far, yeah, that's really the only demand that we've seen for clients who are coming to us asking for support and solutions in the margin space.
I just want to go back to the point you raised on Falcon X on entrance into this market. What other conversations are you having? Obviously, there has been the incident involving FTX, shaking confidence, but you mentioned that others were beginning to look again. Do you think we'll see others join the likes of Falcon X over the next 6 months, year or so?
Certainly, yeah. And if you follow some of the financial headlines over the course of last summer, several other firms have been historically vocal about their intention to register as a swap dealer here in the U.S. Like I said, that I think has slowed a little bit towards the end of last year, but through our discussions with clients and potential clients, we definitely see momentum building in that space, which is part of the reason why I'm here.
Yeah, well, now's the time to start talking, I
guess,
if you want to have a conversation about becoming a registered swap dealer.
Exactly, yeah. And the critical juncture early on is determining whether you're going to pursue a model-based approach or the much simpler fallback schedule approach. And like I said, achieving regulatory approval for your margin model is a very lengthy, resource-intensive process, not only in the U.S., but for a lot of other regulators globally. So knowing that you're going to see the benefits of using SIM as opposed to the schedule approach is a necessary upfront test to do before you go down that very lengthy regulatory approval road.
Okay, Scott, just one final question. Beyond margin, which is where we've been focusing for the conversation, what else should firms be thinking about?
Yeah, the we've spent a lot of time talking about margin because that's been historically the sort of biggest value add that Acadia has been able to bring to the industry. But more recently, the second component of the swap dealer requirements in the derivatives world is on capital and maintaining regulatory capital adequacy at all times. And if you're not familiar with the term capital, you can think about it like equity on a balance sheet. It's making sure that you have enough essentially leftover equity to survive large potential losses on your portfolio during a stressed environment. So Acadia has recently developed a capital calculation service to help clients make those standardized capital calculations. Very similar to the margin world, you have an option to choose between a model-based approach and your standardized, simpler standardized approach. The capital world's a little bit more complex in that there's a specific market risk and credit risk component. But similar to the margin world, we support clients in the development and validation of their models for capital. So in the market risk space, a value at risk model is a very attractive, popular option. And we've assisted many clients in the last few years achieving regulatory approval for their VAR capital models. As it relates to our hosted daily services, if the model-based approach is not one that's going to provide you with the sort of returns on achieving a regulatory approval down a very similarly lengthy road in the capital space, we also have the ability to make a standardized capital calculation for both market risk and various components of credit risk and counterparty credit risk alongside the daily margin calculations that we're making.
But for crypto-focused firms, that attention to the capital space is as important as margin.
Exactly, and it's probably a bit more of a foreign concept. Banks are used to making capital calculations and stress testing their capital adequacy, especially coming out of the 2008-2009 financial crisis. That was probably the biggest focus of regulation coming out of the financial crisis. But for newer firms who are especially non-bank swap dealers, at least here in the U.S., that capital concept might be a bit more foreign, and they may not be resourced internally to make those sorts of calculations on a daily basis. So that's where we've been adding a lot of value to clients more recently.
Well, Scott, there's plenty to think about there, plenty for firms to be thinking about. Thank you for coming in and sharing your insight and your wisdom with us on Ahead of the Curve.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome. And thank you for listening and watching Ahead of the Curve. We'd like to know what you think, so please do get in touch and share your thoughts. And you can find out more about Acadia by going to acadia.inc. But until next time, it's goodbye.